Welcome to the JenningsWire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman, the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. Today's very special guest is Dr. Bill Crawford, a licensed psychologist, author of 4 books, and organizational consultant and speaker. In the last 27 years, he has created over 3,300 presentations for such organizations as Sprint, Shell, the American Medical Association, as well as PBS, where his 2 specials on stress and dealing with difficult people have been seen by over 15 million people. So Dr. Crawford will be revealing new information on dealing with stress and difficult people instead of them dealing with you here with us today. So welcome, Dr. Crawford. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Looking forward to sharing this information with your audience.
And so we're talking about new information, right? You say that it's different. We haven't heard this before. There's so many resources and quote unquote experts out there to talk about stress and difficult people. What sets you apart from that when doing your speaking and consulting?
Yeah, and I think that's really important because even if people hear good information, if they've heard it before, if they already know it, for instance, you know, everybody says you're supposed to exercise and you're supposed to eat right. Well, we actually all know that. So when someone says it, it just doesn't really help. So I wanted to make sure that I came from at this very important topic or these 2 topics from a different perspective. So here's what I learned. I learned that everything we think and feel and do and say, how we react to others and how others react to us is all influenced by how the brain processes information. So I've created a system that actually shows people how to access their clarity, confidence, creativity by accessing the very specific part of the brain and how to avoid the stress, frustration, anxiety, depression really that sometimes gets in the way of us bringing our best to life and being successful by avoiding a very specific part of the brain.
So, Dr. Crawford, you're saying there's one part of the brain that helps boost and stimulate the clarity, confidence, and creativity, and then another part of the brain that is dealing with anxiety and depression and stress and frustration. So they're 2 separate parts of the brain. How do we know that we're accessing one or the other?
Well, because what I've done is I've taken the brain, which is obviously a very complex organ, and really divided it into 3 parts. This lower part, the brainstem, is where that anxiety, frustration, stress, resentment, anger is triggered. The upper 80%, the neocortex, is where we have access to our clarity, confidence, creativity, compassion, all of our interpersonal skills, our problem-solving skills. And the middle part, the limbic system, is the gatekeeper. It acts as a scanner, a processor, and a router. It scans incoming data, processes it, or interprets it, and then it routes it down to the brainstem or up to the upper 80% of the brain, the neocortex. So in my system, I help people train that middle part of the brain to actually send the data up to the neocortex versus down to the brainstem.
Now that's interesting. So basically you're saying that the majority of our brains, 80% of our brains, it's the part of the brain that's the clarity and confidence, and that sort of deal. But then the brain stem, the lower 20%, is the anger and frustration and stress. What makes us, a lot of us, and maybe you can say whether or not it's most of us, focus in on that smaller part of the brain versus the bigger part of the brain? What gets in the way? Is it just not being able to use, and I don't even know if you use the limbic system, but the gatekeeper correctly?
Yes. Well, see, the gatekeeper, the limbic system, historically has kept us alive as a species. You know, we're walking through the jungle with our friend. We hear the roar of a saber-toothed tiger. The saber-toothed tiger eats our friend, and the limbic system goes crazy. Oh, my God, saber-toothed tiger. What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? What kind of place does it live in? It encodes all of the data around a saber-toothed tiger so that the next time we're walking through the jungle and we hear that roar, we run away and we survive. Worked very nicely when we were in a fight or flight survival situation on a regular basis. Today, however, we are rarely, if ever, in a situation where our physical survival is being threatened, that this limbic system is still hypervigilant for what we should be afraid of or what we should be worried about or concerned about. And it is out there scanning the environment in a way that it thinks it's keeping us safe, but it's really trapping us in this lower 20% of the brain.
All right, so now you're talking about your life from the top of mind system, correct? So what
Yes.
is it within this system that can be applied to all aspects of our life? Can you give us some examples of how we can do that practically?
Sure. So basically, I think most people want to be able to be as influential in their experience of life as possible and influential in their relationships with people as possible. What we need to know is that ability to be influential in a very purposeful way comes from this upper 80% of the brain. So what we want to do is to recognize that the idea is to train the limbic system. And the way you do that is you look at, okay, what is determining whether this limbic system sends this data down to the brainstem or up to the neocortex? And it turns out it's what I call our piece of the pie. And that is our perspective, our interpretations, and our expectations, which kind of spells pie, a little thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is we've got old beliefs or perspectives, and we use those beliefs or those perspectives to create interpretations. Traffic as an example. Most people have a belief that traffic is bad, and when they're in traffic, they're worried about something. They're worried about not getting there on time or being late again or getting in trouble or disappointing people, some worry or fear or concern. That throws us down into the brainstem. We start producing fight or flight chemicals like adrenaline, cortisol, and we get more anxious and more stressed and more frustrated. What I want to do is to be able to say, okay, I've got a belief about traffic that it is bad. Well, if I'm going to be in traffic at some point in the future, I don't know, that's a belief I want to hang on to. I want to redefine traffic as, okay, traffic is basically just a bunch of people going the same way I am. How do I want to deal with it? How do I want to feel about it? Or one of my favorite questions is, what would I teach to someone I love? I love the idea of, what if your kids were in the back seat and going, okay, mom, dad, show me how to deal with traffic. I think we would deal with traffic in a very different way, a very purposeful way, because our highest purpose at that point would be teaching something to someone we love. Whenever we access, what would I teach to someone I love? We're accessing that loving, wise, teaching upper 80% of the brain. And we can be very purposeful in situations that in the past would have triggered this old stress, anxiety, and frustration. Relationships. We want to be able to understand what somebody is wanting us to know. We're wanting to be able to get our ideas across to them. But when we're coming from this fight or flight part of the brain, we're not very good at that because all of our interpersonal skills are in this upper 80% of the brain. So we say things we don't mean. We interpret them saying things they probably don't mean. And that's where so many arguments and misunderstandings and problems happen between people.
Dr. Crawford, we only have a few moments left. With this information that you're just talking about and being very, very purposeful, when you're looking at the piece of the pie, when we're dealing with these situations, the difficult people, the difficult, stressful issues in our lives, how can we use this in our daily lives? Give us one piece of advice, and if you would like to leave our listeners with anything else, let us know now.
Sure. One, I love the idea of looking at stress not as the problem, but as part of the solution. There's a quote that I like that says, stress is a signal something needs to change. Suffering is when we don't make the change. So if we can start seeing our stress, our frustration, our anger, any kind of reaction in a way that we don't like, or is good information about how we don't want to be, or not something we would teach someone we love, we can start saying, okay, good information. I'm trapped in that lower 20% of the brain. If I were coming from a different part of me, a more purposeful part, in a way that I would teach to someone I love, how would that be different? So we begin to use the stress as good information about what part of the brain we're coming from and what chemicals we're dumping into our body. And we shift that by imagining what we would do if we were teaching someone we love to do it in a more purposeful way. And what I love to do is go out and do this. I do a lot of speaking all the time. I'm on the road a lot because I just love sharing this with people. I love seeing the light bulbs go off in their head and go, oh, well, that's why I did this, or that's why they did this. And when I can go and work with leaders and have them accessing their best, and then when I can go and work with their people so that everybody in the organization is coming from this upper 80% of the brain, it can transform cultures and increase productivity and just really make people more happy and more at peace at what they're doing.
Well, it really sounds like that, Dr. Crawford. And I like to urge our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Bill Crawford, this new material, you can visit his website at BillCrawfordPhD.com, where you can contact him about speaking to your organization or consulting as a corporate trainer. You can also sign up to receive 4 videos on his Life from the Top of the Mind system, which is what we're discussing here today, as well as subscribe to Dr. Crawford's YouTube channel with over 120 videos and connect with him on Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, Twitter, iTunes, and LinkedIn. Dr. Crawford is everywhere, including here, and we thank him for that. Thanks so much, Dr. Crawford, for being here.
My pleasure. And if people kind of forget my name, just Google Bill Crawford and I'll show up on the first page.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR, the creator of JenningsWire Online Magazine. JenningsWire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that is just right for you. Till next time.